Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
All right, Chime Time, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnanski.
Some good and some bad from week two from a gambling perspective. Chris Schein, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mutt. I am wonderful today. How are you?
I am good. So do we get a push on the Pats game? How do we want to play this? How do you want
to
play
this? So the final number was, in fact, 3.
Yep.
But because we took it when it was 2, it was 2 when we took it. I think we get the loss.
That's an L. Yep, you got a 3, you got a push. If you laid the 3 by the time it was yesterday, you push as well, thanks to the Deontay Johnson 2-point conversion. I thought for sure, admittedly, Shine, we'll get into mostly betting here today, but since we are a sports-ish podcast, we should hit on the game itself, Patriots and Steelers. I thought a couple things. I thought for sure the Steelers were going to win when they made it 17-14 and there was so much time left.
Yep.
I thought, well, they'll find one more possession. I thought that Mac Jones, for whatever his final line is, it is a great example of how the box score does not tell the story.
Correct.
And to his credit, Phil Perry gave him a C in his report card today. And if he had gone as low as C-, I would have been okay based on the fact that Pittsburgh dropped one, not one, but two. I mean, easy peasy, lemon squeezy picks. I mean, and I understand it. It's what happened the week before. Dolphins got lucky. They win. But I thought Mac got lucky, and I thought, well, the next time he does that, the Pittsburgh will take advantage in the fourth. And to their credit, the Patriots' offense is pretty good there in the fourth. A couple of first downs, so they threw on first down, and then at the end they salted away the final 6:33 with a power running game with Harrison Stevenson, which is a nice finish for them, Shy. I like the way they finished the game. I didn't love some of the Mac throws, but I like their intensity at the end, their focus, their edge. And on the road, 6 minutes, you keep the ball, you win. That was a good finish by the team and kind of a uneven performance by Mac Jones during much of it.
I mean, that's a great finish. It's a great way to stamp the ending, especially because I agree with you. I don't think they were very good throughout the course of the game. They got, and I mean, between the Cam Sutton dropped interception and then what,
yep,
2 plays later, Gunnar Olszewski muffs a punt.
Doink. It's all a former All-Pro Gunnar Olszewski.
And then it's just an absolute gift. And outside of that, I don't think they were going to be able to score again, like unless they got something like that. And so, you know, a good job. You got the win. You got a dirty win. That's one for the win column.
That.
You can't,
yeah, dirty win. Yes.
Yep.
Dirty
you
win.
can't say anything bad about that. But I was not impressed, to say the least. Not even a little bit.
I impressed is not a word I would use. I would say definitely encouraged about some of the things that I saw on offense. You know, getting a Nelson Aguilar one-on-one on the outside and letting him just work. And obviously it was an unbelievable play. It was just,
yeah, but that was a bad throw. Like, it was underthrown. If that's a cornerback not named Akella Witherspoon, that probably gets broken up or intercepted. Like, Nelson Aguilar,
can I say, like,
to his
scheme,
credit,
though, they have not done a lot of scheming up plays for Aguilar.
Oh, see, I disagree. I don't think that was
one
a scheme thing.
Is going deep. I hate those screen plays. They just let them run deep.
All they did was it was just this vanilla offense. They just took turns running deep, and when they throw it to Devontae Parker, it gets picked. And when you throw it to Nelson Aguilar went and made a play. Like, it wasn't I don't think that's scheme. I think that's just they're running the same plays, just moving the receivers around. It is such a vanilla, especially the run game. Like, to the offensive line's credit, they were really good, especially in the run game yesterday. They opened up a lot of holes. But just, in my opinion, the play calling is so vanilla and bland, and there's zero creativity. There's zero just anything outside of like a. It feels like the Remember the Titans offense. You know how he says I run six plays. It's veer left, veer right, and then like some form of the veer. Like that's how Matt Patricia's offense feels, and I cannot stand it.
Well, to their credit, they realized after week one, I know we're paying these tight ends a lot of money. We're not going to keep them on the field. And they got out of that two tight end set, and they started moving guys around a little bit more. They had Mack and shotgun quite a bit. The play calling, maybe you're right, Chime. I was encouraged by a lot of Mack and shotgun, a lot of throwing on first down, which I think smart teams in the NFL do. You know, that Pittsburgh made mistakes in one of their final drives. Was first and 10, and a chance for them to go down and tie the game or take the lead. And it's Najee Harris right for 3 yards, which just was not – it was not there during the day. Meanwhile, they had Mack dropping back in shotgun on first down and a couple of passes that could have been picked. But I don't know. So we disagree. I was encouraged by it. I agree with you. It was not impressive by any means. I also thought it was very noteworthy. And, again, I'm glad NBC Sports Boston picked up on this too, because when CBS went to the sideline, Bill Belichick was super involved in the offense. I don't know if you guys talked to Bill about that today, but he seemed like he was taking a much more hands-on approach, maybe recognized, I can't let Patricia and Judge run this offense into the ground. I need to help these guys out.
Yeah, we talked to Belichick a little bit. He talked about he was giving credit to literally every coach and every position group. He was naming people I don't even know who he was talking about. He was doing his thing. But yes, I think he was much more involved, but only because he felt like he needed to be, because he needed to bail Matt Patricia out in some spots.
Yeah, it was a road win for a team we don't think is going to win 9 games this year. They're all good. That certainly hurt us, Shime, as far as the over-under and the season total went. I've had that down as an L. They got some tough games coming up. They got Ravens and Packers, so we'll see how they bounce back after the absolute Ravens meltdown yesterday. I mean, again, from a gambling perspective, everybody who had Ravens laying the 3.5, they felt like they were counting their money.
Yep.
And like a bunch of games yesterday, Shime, between Raiders and Cardinals late, the Bucks who took forever to get going, just some massive comebacks, and the Patriots will have them next up. And I wonder, is it going to be as vanilla next week offensively, or do you think this is like a stepping stone? We'll be better next week, Shime, against the Ravens defense.
I don't expect this to get much better. I think Mack might look marginally better, just because I don't think Baltimore's defense is as good as Pittsburgh's or Miami's with Kyle Fuller out for the season. I don't know if he's out for the season. But I know he's on IR at least. And they're dealing with some injuries there. They have a rookie, Jalen Armour Davis. I think he was like a fourth or fifth rounder. He was starting against Miami. He's one of the reasons Tyreek Hill just absolutely dominated in that fourth quarter. And so I think there might be some more opportunity. But again, I just don't have a lot of confidence that this Patriots offense is going to do anything. I think the biggest issue for them is the fact that their offense – there's no explosion to it. And if Baltimore gets out to 7-14-point lead, like, the game might just be over. it might just be done.
Yeah, they can't play from behind. They're built a certain way, that's for sure.
I think, and it's funny, because I think I thought they were built like Miami after watching yesterday. I don't believe that's the case. But then when I really look at it, they're definitely built just like Pittsburgh. It's a team that you want to minimize mistakes, play defense, run the ball, run the clock. It's the style of the Patriots, the Steelers, the Seahawks. That's how they want to play. It's not fun. It's not pretty. Will it get you some wins against some other teams that aren't that great? Yeah. But I don't think it's sustainable for the long run.
Yeah, it's very similar to last year. They're going to beat a lot of bad teams this year, and we'll see how they, at the end of the year, remember, if you look at their 2021 record, they beat two winning teams. They beat the Titans without Derrick Henry and company, and they beat the Bills up in that windstorm in Buffalo.
Yep.
And we'll see at the end of this season if they have beaten winning teams. I don't think anyone thinks the Steelers are a playoff team this year. They beat them yesterday. Miami might be a playoff team, and they lost to them in week one. So you may be looking at a kind of like year two of this in place until they go and spend money. And the reality is, one more football thing before we get to the betting. You saw in Miami, if you put talented studs around, let's call it just sort of a passenger as a quarterback, it can work, Shime. You know, Tua is not a great quarterback, but he can throw for a million yards when it's Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle out there in the receiving core. Like, when you give a middle-of-the-road quarterback or an average quarterback, I'm not saying that despairingly, but call it average, not great quarterback, a lot of weapons around him, he is going to make you pay. And so I think next year again is when they'll do that with Mac. We'll see if we'll see if Tyquan Thornton ends up being a nice piece to pair with an expensive wide receiver next year. But I think you had a little glimpse in Miami yesterday of what you do if you put elite talent around even an average quarterback.
Yep, I'm 100% with you.
As far as the wagering went yesterday, in our three picks, I went 1-2. Since the loss in that Patriots game. The Colts game was dead. We talked about this on Saturday morning. It was a bad bet once the injuries came out. It was a worse bet once the real inactives came out and they were down to a couple of wide receivers and tight ends that I didn't know, but I was stuck with that pick. That's a loser. We did get the under last night with the Packers and Bears. It was almost exactly how I expected, except for A.J. Dillon not scoring a touchdown, and he had a million carries and probably should have scored. He did not. So I went 1-2, Sean. I think you went 3-0 yesterday.
Mutt, let me tell you, I went a fat 3-0, baby. We
nice.
Cashed good. And it made up for it because I didn't hit on a lot of my props this week. But I went a clean 3-0 on my picks.
Love
hit
it.
On the under in San Francisco, Seattle. Hit on Tampa Bay. Hit on the over in Atlanta, L.A.
We'll take the 4-2
yep.
as a podcast. We'll take that and move on. My props, I got them all written down here. 3-2 overall and 4-2 if you're able to get the Dotson bet in. So they did eventually post that back up. He ended up with four catches on the 3.5 was his total. They posted it back up. I think it was minus 115 at one point. He had a touchdown and four catches. So if you're able to get the Dotson bet in, we went 4-2 and were, I mean, sweating out. What a fun sweat that was. The Matt Stafford yardage last night, we had it at 276.5. Fox had him at 276 passing yards. ESPN had him at 272, DK had him 272, and about 45 minutes after the game, it closed at 272. They paid me out on DK. So we gave that one on Thursday. I'm glad that one hit. So I went 4-2, Shime. I do not have your props written down here. I know you had about the same amount that I did yesterday.
Yeah, I went 3-5 in my props, unfortunately. It come down from the week before. I hit on Brady's under, Christian Kirk over, easiest cash of my life again.
That was a great call.
And the Curtis Samuel over as well. But we missed barely on Mixon and Barkley. We missed on Higbee. That one was done early. I did not expect them to just pepper Higbee
either.
With targets in the first drive of the game. Daryl Henderson missed as well. Cam Akers got a lot more action, unfortunately. And Hunter Renfrow missed because they decided to go to overtime. That game doesn't go to overtime. We cash by 5 yards. It goes to overtime and we miss. And it was a bummer. But it is what it is. That's
three
how it goes.
And 4-4 to 3-5 thanks to overtime.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, but I mean, overall, so through the entire first week. So last Sunday I went 10-1, but including all of the Thursday night games and Monday night games and everything like that, 16-8 so far on props and to start the season.
Good start.
And then, a 3-0 week with my picks, so that always helps.
Excellent start. There was a lot of annoying things yesterday from a DFS standpoint. I had a team that started with, I had four players in the early slate. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Waddle, Rashad Bateman, and Jahan Dotson.
That's a good start.
I had 110 points going to the afternoon games. I swapped into some better matchups for myself, and James Conner got hurt. Albert O had zero catches for Denver, which was absolutely tilting beyond belief. Mike Evans got thrown out of the game.
Holy smokes.
Did not end. I was counting my money at halftime. It did not end well. But some wild action yesterday, buddy. And now we get, 6 days from now, Lamar comes here on Sunday, right?
Does.
Sunday at Fox, 1 o'clock. Lamar
that
in that
correct.
Offense.
Correct.
Wow.
I can't wait.
I kind of want to go to that game. I want to see Lamar in person. I may try. Wow. I may get my first Patriots game in years.
I love Lamar so much.
I like watching him play. I'll say that Lamar MVP tickets don't look bad after 2 weeks.
No, they don't.
Based on that yesterday,
20-1, Mutt.
That's not. I forgot about that. Huh. Harbaugh Coach of the Year, not great losing that game.
But Lamar, great. He had more touchdowns in the first half than the Patriots have had all season.
Well, I mean, what is his, what is Mac's touchdown count to Tua's right now through two games?
Mac has what, one touchdown pass? Because the other two were runs?
Tua had six yesterday?
Yeah, he had six.
All right, I am. Well, now I'm curious. Can you pull the MVP odds up? Do they repost them?
I have them right here. Hold on 1 second.
What are the latest odds?
Awards.
That'd be great.
I'd
be curious.
Player fee. Oh, no, awards. There
or
we
is
go.
There a chance?
Okay, the current odds. Josh Allen still the leader at +425, followed by Mahomes close there at +500, followed by Herbert, Brady, then Lamar is now 12-1.
That makes sense. We got him at 20-1 or so. He's bet down at 12-1.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens with Josh Allen. Herbert might potentially miss some time. Miss time. But he's got a rib cartilage tear.
Yep.
Which was reading on Sunday. One of the football docs said not as painful, but just lingers forever. So we'll see. He looked like he was all banged up in that game on Thursday. Still made some plays late, including that late touchdown. But that's a good start for us. 20-1 to 12-1. Chime, I'll take that through 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a great jump to start the season. I really like that.
All right. So meanwhile, we do all this preamble. We're not really a review show. We're a betting show. We look forward.
True.
We have two games tonight, Chime.
Yeah,
we have two games tonight. We have
one starts at 7:15.
Oh, so good. My kids are so pumped. They can watch the first half. The entire first
so
game.
Excited.
They're excited about that. The early game is Bills and Titans. That'll be on ESPN with Levy and Orlovsky and
Lewis Riddick.
Lewis Riddick. They'll start at 7:15. Then ABC is going to carry the Monday night game. Like when I was a kid, we'd be on ABC. You youngins don't know about that, but ABC with you don't. You're too young. And it would pop on and be the big game. Al Michaels. Tonight we get Buck and Aikman, and what they're going to do is, like it says here doing the broadcasting notes, like a red zone sort of back and forth. So you may get a split screen if one of the other teams is in the red zone.
Ooh,
Shime and get plays back and forth.
You know, I don't hate this.
We get two games tonight, which is good for DFS. It's good for gambling. It's very good for props. But you said on Saturday you got some big ideas about this. We talk about it today. I have ideas. I would not call them big. So I'll defer to you, to Chris Shime. What are your big ideas for the Week 2 NFL doubleheader, Bills and Titans early, Vikings and Eagles late?
Yeah, I am all in on this Bills game. I am all in on the Bills in this game.
Big number. Big number.
I'm okay with that, though. I think they cover this pretty easily, actually.
So I have it at 10 where I'm looking right now. Is it still 10 for you?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, so the line is 10. It opened at 7.5. Titans are a little bit banged up. 65% of the bets were on the Bills, and 71% of the money is on Buffalo as well, laying that number, Shime. So go ahead.
Yeah, so ultimately, Schefter had tweeted out the other day that Gabe Davis is banged up.
And he said yesterday on TV, he used the phrase iffy.
Yes.
To play in this game. Matthew Berry's also reporting he's hearing it's doubtful that he's going to play in this game.
Yeah, his tweet says questionable due to an ankle injury, which they really haven't changed the Steph Diggs props yet. So yesterday when Schefter tweeted that out, I think it was Saturday that he actually tweeted it out.
Okay.
I took advantage of that. I went with the same game parlay that included the Bills. I have the Bills to win by 10. They'll cover the spread.
So Bills minus 10.
Yep. I also have the Bills team total over 29.5.
So you got to score 30 points.
Got to score 30 points. Steph Diggs, over 80 yards receiving. And then the last thing, which I think is definitely the toughest leg, but definitely plausible, would be a Devin Singletary anytime touchdown.
Anytime tutty.
Because of the DraftKings same game parlay boost, that got up to 10-1.
Nice.
Those are the legs that I love tonight. Those were my favorites. I am all in on those. The other one I wanted to bring up to you, because I had a question.
Sure.
And it was a bet I want to talk about, because I may be going up to New Hampshire, you know, later this afternoon to place a couple more bets. Kyle Phillips, do you think he's actually part of the Tennessee offense? Or do you think week one was an aberration? Because his receiving number this week is only 29.5. Last week, he had, I believe it was 9 targets, and he had 6 catches for 66 yards.
It was either 6 or 9, yes, absolutely. 6 for 66, something like that, yes.
So if that's the case, like, is he actually part of this offense? Because if he is, that number is too low.
Okay, can we do one thing real quick?
Yeah.
Is Kyle Phillips playing in this game tonight?
Ooh, did he come out injured?
I believe he's listed as questionable with his shoulder.
Check.
Yesterday they downgraded Kyle Phillips because I was looking at. So he went from, here's his practice this week, Sean. I'm fine talking about it.
Yep.
He didn't practice Thursday, limited Friday, okay? Then he got downgraded from, downgraded to questionable for Monday. And they ruled Dontrell Hilliard out. The only reason I started looking this morning at, you mentioned the Gabe Davis injury. Like, I started looking at player props of, like you said, Bills receivers around the Bills without Gabe Davis, and then I was thinking, what's the trickle down effect if Kyle Phillips does not play in this game? I've seen nothing. I've seen no lean either way from either of these guys, but he is dealing with an injury. And I was looking at Treylon Burks' stuff. Because I feel like if he doesn't play, Burks then elevated to that second receiver spot with Robert Woods, who I think is locked into the number one spot on that team. So I don't mind Kyle Phillips. I just, as we're talking about it, I want people to be aware that
he's currently questionable.
He's questionable and he might not play in this game.
Okay, that's good to know. And see, this is why I need to talk it out with gambling friends. I didn't realize that he was dealing with an injury. That's bad job by me, bad research. But I'm glad we talked it out. This is what I needed. This is why I came to you.
So, I mean, I guess I don't hate it. Cause I feel like, so the theory would be, so I think you're on the right side of the game. Like, I think there's a good chance the Bills absolutely
just an
roll.
Absolute rout.
I mean, this team home opener earlier than usual. Crowd is going to be outrageous.
And the Titans lost to the freaking Giants in week.
Yeah, extra time. And by the way, Vrabel wins these stupid games when you think Vrabel has no shot at winning.
True,
he wins them over and over again. That's my only hesitancy because I was like, why shouldn't I just be building a two-team teaser? Just start it with getting the Bills down to four.
So
getting 8.5 with the Vikings is just like seriously the most generic, boring, square teaser in America. Who blows that up? Either the Vikings, I mean, Bills don't win by five, or the you can't cover 8.5 points with the Vikings tonight against an Eagles defense that got one sack on 33 dropbacks last week.
Yes,
against Jared Goff.
So if there's a thought, if you are convinced or in the camp that like Mike Vrabel wins these stupid games, my thought then would be, well, how does he win? Because if it's just a Derrick Henry game, maybe would it be worth sprinkling in a Derrick Henry prop? Because is that the way they're going to win? Is Tannehill going to pop off? Like, I guess that's where I'm looking at it. Like, I don't see an avenue of success for the Titans in this game. And that's why I'm so heavily invested in the Bills as of right now. Because ESPN has this stupid stat floating around that Buffalo hasn't won a Monday Night Football game at home since 1994. Granted, right. They've only played like three or four of them. But those games also didn't have Josh Allen. So I don't see an avenue that the Bills lose this, which is kind of and they don't dominate, which is why I'm so invested in the Bills. But is there a specific avenue that the Titans win this game? Like, is there a way?
It's the NFL, but unless they have to have 35-40 minutes time possession, turn over the Bills a couple of times. And win like 17-13, somewhere in there. Do you think that's likely on the road tonight?
No. I just don't. The only way it's likely is if Derek.
The first week of the year, they were the number one DVOA defense. They ran absolute bonanza over the Rams on Thursday.
Oh, they destroyed the Rams.
People should not forget how that looked.
Yes.
Okay? And they were unbelievable in that game.
I also think it says something about the Rams, especially if you watch that Atlanta game. Then again, Atlanta may be frisky. Who knows? But regardless, like, the Bills absolutely dominated that Thursday night game, and now they get to face a team that's 0-1 coming off a loss to the New York Giants, where Derrick Henry couldn't do anything. And if Derrick Henry couldn't do anything against the New York Giants, how do we then expect him to do something against the Buffalo Bills defense, who, as you just pointed out, was the number one DVOA defense in football in week one?
They're number one against
and
the
Rams. And last year, they were the number one defense in football.
They were. Let me just make sure I have this here. Defensively, a year ago, rush DVOA a year ago, they were 11th, but they were number one against the pass.
Yep.
They were number three in weighted DVOA defensively a year ago. So it's without Hilliard, now there's really no threat out of the backfield. I guess this could mean a monster night for Derrick Henry because he may be out there the entire game. I'm not going to sell you on the Titans. They're not a home dog. It's not Monday night. The Bills have the extra time off. It feels like their year. I think the Bills win this game comfortably. And they, yeah. I like your idea of them getting to the 30s, too. And the only way that backfires is if the Titans decide at some point, even when they're trailing, we're still going to run the football. We're not going to try to go toe-to-toe with them, which I think is completely possible because Tannehill's sort of, we know what he is. That's the only reason they don't get to 30. But I like the first two legs, laying the 10 and 30 points on your same game parlay.
Yeah, so just because we're trying to suss this out a little bit, like Derrick Henry did run for 143 yards last year and get three touchdowns against this.
Well, that was the upset, right? Titans, they beat him. Yeah,
34-31. So, like, if you think Derrick Henry is 100% healthy and he is the guy still, like, he is that dude, maybe, I guess, the one avenue is Derrick Henry has a big game, and like you throw together a crazy same game parlay. Like, what would that look like if you just did like Titans money line, and then like a two TD game out of Derrick Henry?
Plus... Well, I just found these. His last four games, he's combined 98 carries, 298 yards, and a touchdown against the Bills. So should be pretty good. I mean, Hilliard is not going to play. Ed Oliver is out up front for Buffalo. So I mean, You're sort of talking yourself. You're talking yourself out of your Bills bet, but I mean, you're explaining now.
Yeah.
What it looks like if they're going to win.
Yeah, like so. If I think there's any chance the Titans win, the only way they do it is a Derrick Henry game. If that's the case, just for reference, by the way, Derrick Henry to have over 110 yards, two touchdowns, and a Titans win is like 18-1 in the same game parlay. So maybe I toss like $2 on it and be like, meh, I'm just gonna, you know, or like $3 to $5 on it and be like, meh, just in case, you know, just in case, just to hedge all of my, because I have so much on Buffalo that it's like at least this would numb the pain slightly. It would be like a shot of whiskey when you're in agony. So,
you're Wyatt Earp.
Yeah,
back in the old.
So, I am very heavily invested in Buffalo. So that is just a thought I have flowing in my mind for now, and that's game one. But we can move on to game two. I feel enough talking about this.
Let's be okay. Their offense is unbelievable. They went on the road to L.A. and dominated the defending world champs. They're back home, extra rest. Yeah, they have a couple injuries. It's not going to talk me out of the fact that I'm with you. I think they score 30-plus points. I think they win this game comfortably. And from player props, again, some of these things have not landed yet because they're waiting to see exactly what happens tonight with Gabe Davis. And so hopefully DK just, you know, sacks up at some point and gives you some options here. But the pecking order behind Davis is going to be some group of, I would say, Isaiah McKenzie, Jamison Crowder, and then Jake Kumerov, the former Packer, is also on the receiving corps. So those guys all will get bumps. I think McKenzie and Crowder get the biggest bumps, and I also think it's a bump to the Dawson Knox anytime touchdown because you get in the red zone. Gabe Davis, a red zone threat. Those red zone targets go to Dawson Knox now.
Also, so, I don't know if I mentioned this prop, Ryan Tannehill over a half an interception. Love that. Tie
What's
that
the
in.
Odds there?
Only minus 140. So if you're doing a same game parlay, tie that in.
Yes.
Absolutely. He didn't throw one last week. He threw one against Buffalo last year. He's due for a pick if he didn't throw one last week. So I am in on a Tannehill interception tonight.
By the way, the Titans are officially going to be without their number one cornerback, Christian Fulton.
Okay.
He's not playing in this game tonight.
Oh, yeah. Then I want Buffalo, and I want all the Steph Diggs props I can get. Yep, I'm in. All right, I'm done.
You mentioned the late game. Also made the Vikings one of my picks. I get it. Like, this is sort of – let's not. I tell people not to overreact after week one. And the Vikings beating the Packers, like, it may not look – I mean, the number might look better than the result. We'll see how good the Packers are. They dominated a terrible, just absolutely terrible Bears team last night. That, again, they're hoping their second-year quarterback takes a step forward. He has shown flashes, but probably feel like some Patriot fans wondering when is the next step going to be for our team. To me, it's pretty simple. I told you, Bill, I think it's a Bills-Vikings teaser type of night. I think the fact the Eagles only got one sack on Jared Goff last week, I think Cousins is going to have himself a pocket tonight. I think we know by now that you don't want to run against this Eagles defense. You want to throw against them. I think Irv Smith, after a quiet week one, is a player I want to target in player props and anytime touchdown props. I think he's but somebody I think is going to be much more involved in the offense. Justin Jefferson's a freak. The Eagles certainly are good, but with Za'Darius Smith and the linebacking core, I think they can, I won't say slow down, but contain Jalen Hurts tonight. So I know they're the favorites, but I would be on the Vikings plus the points. I know the Eagles are the favorites.
Yeah.
I'd lay on the Vikings plus the points. Vikings as dogs on the money line. And, again, two-team generic, you know, loser square teaser. Bills tease it down to 4. Vikings tease them up to 8.5. That's how I feel about this game.
Yeah, I like that. I'm into it. I'm not – I just – I can't – I like the Eagles a lot, so I can't. I also think the Vikings are really good, so I can't really talk myself into a side either way. The one thing I do like, though, I love the Vikings team total over 23.5. I think getting up to the 24-28 range for the Vikings, whether it be in a convincing win or in a shootout, seems realistic to me, and that's why I like picking the Vikings team total more than I like picking even the total of the game, because I can see the Vikings kind of dominating this game and outright winning, kind of like what they did with Green Bay, or it could be just an absolute shootout and an absolute gunfire and be similar to what Philadelphia ended up finding themselves in last week, where all of a sudden Detroit was back in it. So I don't know that I necessarily want to pick the spread or the game total, but I really like the Vikings team total over 23.5. And then there's some props in this game, too, that I think are extremely valuable.
I'll just mention John Ewing, BetMGM, points out that the game opened 3. It is now 2.5, but 51% of the bets and 71% of the money is on Philadelphia. So a little bit of reverse line move, Sean, with the money coming in on Philadelphia at the line going the other way, which makes me, again, confident that, to me, the Vikings would be the right side tonight. I'm with you on the Eagles being pretty good, especially in that division now. But I'm going to be on the Vikings tonight for sure as part of some stuff. What prop bets are you looking at for the second game tonight?
So it's a prop bet. One of them we talked about last week, actually. That'd be the Quez Watkins receiving yards.
Oh, yeah,
currently listed at 19.5. Yeah, give me the under on
under.
That. Yeah, 100%. I went the under on Quez Watkins this week. And in contrast, too, we saw A.J. Brown have a massive week one. I kind of expected that. That's why I gave you the props. And we cashed easily on A.J. last week. I'm not as in tune with A.J. Brown this week. I actually think that Devontae Smith could get some targets. He didn't get a target in week one, which seems odd being the number one receiver on this team last year.
Well,
but I clearly think that they were trying to force feed A.J. Brown. And so I'm really into the Devontae receptions total tonight. I don't necessarily love the yardage; it's at a weird spot. But the receptions total is 3.5 at +125 on the over, which I like.
Yeah, and I think we saw in week two, like, players that didn't get the targets or participation.
Allen Robinson.
Thought, man, that's the first one I was going to say. Yep. Jalen Waddle. Like they,
yes, exactly.
Aaron Jones last night.
Yes.
Like, we didn't get Aaron Jones the ball enough. 2-3 touchdowns later, he's got 100 yards, he's got a million yards receiving, and he dominates the game, and he wins people $1 million on DraftKings. Like, coaches realize they overreact like we do as gamblers. I think Devonta Smith for a bounce back tonight is an absolute home run shine. I'm playing him. I mean, Gabe Davis not likely to play. But I'm playing him in one of my only two like fantasy leagues. I'm playing Devonta Smith over Gabe Davis, and I play him if he was healthy too, because I'm with you. I think they're going to feed Devonta Smith tonight. I think they're going to realize that he is a really good receiver, and it's better for Jalen Hurts to get more guys involved. So I love that one. Absolutely love that one.
Yeah, the other prop bet that I think you'll love as well, that I am enamored with, is the Jalen Hurts over 8.5 rush attempts. He had 17 in week one, Mutt.
Like, that's a wild number.
8.5 is like ludicrously low.
Yeah.
To be fair, the final four games of last season, he didn't hit it. Like, he was 8-8-2-7. But prior to that, 18-13-10-7-13-10-9-8-9-10, and then 17 in week one this season. If it's a shootout, Jalen Hurts is going to be moving all over the place. He's going to be throwing. He's going to be scrambling for a ton of yards. You just have to get 8. You have to get 9 rushing attempts out of Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I am. Count me in. I'm buying.
Completely would buy into that. And I mentioned Irv Smith. They've posted his anytime touchdown number at +320, which is next to guys like Boston. I mean, Kenny Gainwell has a lower number. KJ Osborne, the third wide receiver's got a lower number. Like, I this is a perfectly good number for me. I'm going to be on Irv Smith at +320 for anytime touchdown scores. And if I'm more likely to play a same game parlay in this late game. I have more conviction on the Vikings in their passing game and Irv Smith, and even some Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert stuff than I do on the Bills side. Just I don't know how the targets and stuff are going to trickle down. I mean, it could be a huge Dawson Knox game. Like you said, it could be Steph Diggs just going ham. So I'm going to be interested in Irv Smith anytime touchdown scored in the two games tonight. That would be my favorite prop at +320.
Question for you. Is it worth it to think that there may be a Jalen Reagor revenge game and go anytime touchdown on Jalen Reagor?
No.
Like as a kick return? No?
For pizza money? I mean, he's only 6-1.
Yeah, it's not.
These anytime touchdown odds are whack.
Okay.
This is really weird. I mean, they, like, Jeff. Two different Jefferson and Cook are both minus money to score anytime.
I mean, that makes
Brown
sense.
AJ Brown is only +110. Jalen Hurts +150. That makes sense.
Oh, I also like a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown prop tonight, by the way.
+115. Yeah. Dallas Goedert +165. KJ Osborne should not be +265. But, yeah, so we're on similar pages tonight. I just have more conviction. You have more conviction. Well, I agree with you on the Bills, and I have more conviction on the Vikings. But you also have a preconceived love of the Philadelphia Eagles. That's also a factor.
Yeah. Exactly. And I said that outright. I'm like, I loved the Eagles coming into this season, but I also recognize that the Vikings looked really good in week one. I also kind of expect the Vikings to be good this season in general. I think they're a playoff team. So I cannot find it within myself to pick an actual side and be convicted in that pick.
All right. So of the two games tonight, to boil it down after about a half an hour of this, what what would be your favorite bet?
My favorite bet is Buffalo laying 10. I just think they roll. I can't picture a world where Buffalo doesn't dominate this game.
Yeah, it's close, but given the odds, man, I would.
I guess maybe the team total I might like even more, over 29.5. But either way, the Buffalo bets are my absolute favorite.
7-15, too, nice and early. Oh, perfect.
-10.
Perfect.
Team total over 29.5. Diggs over 75.5 receiving yards. All three of those. Yeah, that is my favorite bets of the night.
Okay, that's why it's three of those are in your parlay.
Yep.
There you go. I'm looking at your same game parlay right now. I got it written down. My favorite would be the Irv Smith anytime touchdown. I think there's going to be a lot of passing attempts tonight. I think it'll be tough for Dalvin Cook to get it going on the ground. I think it's going to lead to a lot of Cousins passing. I think O'Connell proved he's a pretty smart coach doing some of that Cooper Kupp stuff with Justin Jefferson in week one. I expect more of that in week two, more of the tight end. So anytime touchdown, Irv Smith +320, and the Vikings getting the 2.5 / the money line. It's my other favorite bet. That's a lot of football, Sean. We have a lot of other stuff to do today. Yes. I got to go get ready for work. You got to go get ready to drive to New Hampshire, bet these two games tonight. Subscribe, rate, and review BetQL Boston. We'll have the full week two recap tomorrow. And we start to look to Patriots and Ravens. And I will save the look-ahead line for tomorrow. We've gone way too long for a Monday podcast here.
Sorry,
we'll start tomorrow's
that.
Podcast with the current odds and the state of Patriots-Ravens and early leans for Lamar Jackson coming to your building as now the 12-1 fifth choice to win the MVP in the NFL. Shime, good work this weekend, buddy. We can do better tonight. Let's cap it off strong.
Let's do it, baby.
I will text you during the games tonight, buddy. Thank you.
Sounds good, bud. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.